Om Shanti, Namaskar, a very warm welcome to all of you, and this is our last session, and we will be now knowing about the history of the Brahma Kumaris Institution. And as now you have gone through so many classes now, and we have got a deep understanding of all the things which are happening, and what soul is, what God is, and how we can connect to God, you know, what Rajika meditation is all about, but then how God came and how the whole thing started, and how this task of God, the generation part, the sthapna part, the recreation of the new world, how God is doing that. So we will be listening to the history of this institution now, that how he transformed a normal ordinary human being and he converted him into Brahma, and then how he became instrumental in changing the human beings and transforming human beings, and how God used him as an instrument to transform the souls of the world, and now how he is bringing the new world, the golden age. So the story starts with the story of Dada Lekhraj. So Dada Lekhraj, as you might have heard about his history, about his earlier life, that he was a jeweler, and he was a very famous jeweler. He was just a self-made man, because he took birth in a family which was not that rich, a middle class family, and his parents died very early in his childhood, and then he himself learned this profession of diamonds, and he identifies diamonds very. He was a very proficient person who used to, he was having the power to discern what diamond is of what value. So he became a diamond merchant, and he became very famous. And his interactions and all of his business was with the famous Rajas and Maharajas of India. He used to visit those Rajas and Maharajas. He used to go to Nepal, Calcutta, and all around the world, even in Rajasthan. So he was having a very vast, his business was spread out in the whole of India. So he took birth in Hyderabad, Sindh, and it was the time when India and Pakistan, they were not separated. They were all together. And in Hyderabad, Sindh, with this business of being a diamond merchant, he then got married to a woman. Her name was Yashoda, and he was having 5 children, 3 girls and 2 boys. Then he was going along in his life, and he was a very nice soul. He was always, he always kept himself doing good things, and he was donating things. He was a Punya Atma, and he kept donating so many things to the people. And then he was also a good bhakta. He was a devotee of Lord Vishnu, and he used to do lot of bhakti, and involved in lot of bhakti of Vishnu. Then there was a time in his life that some unique things happened. So when he was at the age of 60, he thought that, because I am 60 years old, so now I should wind up my business, and I should do more devotion. I should be a renunciate, absolute renunciate, and now I should divert my mind from business to only worshipping God, so that I can receive salvation. And in his intellect, there was some kind of a search of God. So he was continuously in search of God. He was thinking who God is, and how I can connect to the God, and how I can meet with God. So there was a continuous search in his mind. Then when he was of the age of 60, so what happened, once he was remembering Lord Vishnu, and he saw Lord Vishnu right in front of him. He got a divine vision of Vishnu, where he saw various forms of Vishnu in front of him, and it was a beautiful scene that emerged, and Lord Vishnu emerged in front of him, and then he said something. And it was not a kind of a blessing or a blessing kind of tathastu or something, no. But it was aham Vishnu tat tvam. Aham Vishnu Tatatom. This is what Vishnu said to him. The meaning of that is, I am Vishnu and so are you. So I am Vishnu, so are you. So the meaning of that, you know, brought him into a lot of confusions, that why Vishnuji is saying that I am Vishnu and so are you. So I am also Vishnu, how is it possible? So he with a lot of confusions in his mind, but the happiness that he received afterwards, because the God that he was worshipping, the Lord that he was worshipping, that Lord just appeared in front of him and blessing him and giving him sakshatkar, giving him his darshan. So that was the ultimate aim of his. So he was so astonished, so overwhelmed with this divine vision, that he went to see his guru. And Baba was a great bhakt, so he just had lot of gurus for him. He was having 12 gurus and he was having lot of faith in gurus. Then he went to see one of his guru and he asked him that why I had this vision and what is the significance of it, that why did Vishnuji said that I am Vishnu and so are you. So then when he felt that Guruji is not knowing anything about him and it is not because of him, but there is no contribution of his guru to have the vision of God. So when he saw the face expressions and the feelings of his guru, then he realized that my guru's contribution is nil in this regard. Maybe the God has become happy and God has, has come to meet me because he has realized that I am a great bhakt, I am a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. So he just came to give me the sakshatkar, to give me the divine vision. Then a lot of questions started coming in his mind and his mind became so much, diverted from his business. So he thought that I will be now dedicating most of my time worshipping God. So he went from Hyderabad Sindh, he got transferred to Banaras. And then he sat there by the shores of River Ganga and he used to read Gita a lot. He started worshipping God a lot. Then in Banaras, he got another vision. That divine vision was of the destruction of the whole world. What he saw that by three means the whole world is getting destroyed. One of that is through civil war. There is going to be people killing each other, and there is so many blood shedding events happening in the world, and people have become people are just cutting throats of each one. So there is a civil war happening. Then the second thing is the world is getting destroyed through atomic war. The atomic bombs are being dropped everywhere, and that's how he saw millions of people are dying. And then the third scene that he had, the third thing that he saw, it was the natural calamities. Then he saw that all the five elements, they are also contributing in destroying the world. There are a lot of tsunamis coming and the wind is blowing in such a manner. There are cyclones and there are tornadoes everywhere. And there are forests burning everywhere. So all the five elements, there are a lot of earthquakes happening. So lot of people, millions and billions of people are dying just like that. So he saw these three things and he saw that the destruction is happening by these three means. And then he got so disturbed with this scene and he immediately cried. And he said that, oh God, why are you showing me this scene? What is the significance of it? Why am I having this vision? What do you want from me? Why are you showing me all this? Then after a few days, he had the vision of Paramdham, of the Supreme Abode. And he had a very beautiful vision of the red light where the Brahma Tattva, the sixth element, and he saw there is a lot of peace in that world. It's a world of silence, absolute silence, no bodies at all, non-corporeal world. Where he saw that there is a star which is shining up above the whole cluster of the souls. And then he saw that there are all the souls, just like a tree of souls is there, and each and every soul is shining so brightly. So it is like a cluster of the souls, a very big tree of the souls. Then he, with this vision, he had the experience of so much of silence, and he enjoyed that vision a lot. And then afterwards he saw those souls are coming down onto the earth. Every time he's just watching that the souls are coming down onto the earth, and when those souls are coming on the earth, they become just like deities. They acquire the body of a deity and they become like devta. And the whole world is just like heaven. It is like swarg and paradise. There is peace everywhere. There is happiness everywhere. There is prosperity everywhere. Each and every human being is so elevated in all the qualities. And that's what he saw. And that world was so beautiful, where there is no grief, no pain, then there is no suffering. And when he was just experiencing that happiness of the world, he listened something. It was just like an oracle saying something. Then the oracle was, this world is going to be made by you. You have to make this world. You have to make this world golden age. You have to transform the world. Then there was a confusion in his mind that I am just an ordinary human being. How am I going to transform this world into heaven? How am I going to make the world a paradise? I am just a small diamond merchant. I am an ordinary person, just like another person of the world. How am I going to do this? So with all these questions in mind, he was, put into more confusion. His mind was so much, diverted from the things of the world, from all the materialistic things now don't attract him. Then whenever he used to see diamonds, he used to think these are nothing but just stones and pebbles, nothing else. So his interest in his business was gradually, coming down. He didn't had any interest then in his business. So after having all these visions, then Baba went to Kolkata because he thought that if I will be in Banaras, then I won't be able to do anything. So what I should do now, I should wind up my business. And I should, whatever business I had in Kolkata, so he thought of winding up everything. And then he had some kind of an agreement with his partner, where he gave his business, half of his business to his partner, and then had the rest of it and he sell it. And whatever money he was left with, he came it with that money to Hyderabad Sindh. Now when he returned back to Hyderabad Sindh, and his all of his children, all of his family was very much concerned for him, because they thought, now Baba, what has happened to Baba? Baba has become so simple, and Baba's thinking process has changed a lot. He has become a vairagi now, a renunciate now, and he talks so different. He's continuously reading Gita and doing lot of bhakti, lot of devotion, involved in lot of devotion. Then once there was an event when a guru was there in his house, and he was doing a pravachan. Some kind of satsang was happening in his house, and in that satsang, the guru was giving a lecture, and there was a niyam, there was a discipline in the satsang that no one should stand up, no one is allowed to leave the satsang when the guru is speaking something. But then Baba himself, he stood up and he went into his room. So everyone was overwhelmed that what has happened to Baba? Why did he leave the satsang like that? Then his daughter-in-law, she stood up and she went into Baba's room to see what has happened to him. Then when she just entered into Baba's room, she saw that the whole room was lit by the golden red light, and there was lot of brilliance, extraordinary brilliance. The light was coming from Baba's forehead, and there was some power in him. And then she just sat there in front of Baba, and then she asked, Baba, what is happening to you? And then when she said that, there was few words spoken by Baba. From Baba's mouth, few words came. And that power which has entered into Baba, that power said, Nijanand Rupam Shivoham Shivoham. ప్రేమ స్వరూపం శివోహం శివోహం, ప్రకాశ స్వరూపం శివోహం శివోహం. ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ వాజ్ దాట్ ఐఎమ్ ద వన్ హూస్ ఎటర్నలీ బ్లిస్ఫుల్, మై నేమ్ ఇస్ శివ, ఐఎమ్ ద వన్ హూస్ ద ఓషన్ హూస్ ద ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ పీస్, మై నేమ్ ఇస్ శివ, ఐఎమ్ ద వన్ హూస్ ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ లైట్, మై నేమ్ ఇస్ శివ, ఐఎమ్ ద వన్ హూస్ ద ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్, మై నేమ్ ఇస్ శివ. సో దాట్ వాజ్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దోస్ వర్డ్స్. దెన్ విత్ దోస్ వర్డ్స్, ఆఫ్టర్ సేయింగ్ దోస్ వర్డ్స్, దట్ పవర్ జస్ట్ వెంట్ అవే. And when Baba came into his consciousness, he also heard those words. And then Baba talked to her, to his daughter-in-law, and he said, there was a something happening to me, and there was a power who entered inside me, and he was speaking. I don't know who he was, but he just came inside me and he started speaking. I also heard those words, but I don't know who he was. And what is happening and what God wants from me, I am totally confused. I don't know what I should do. But after that, there's a lot of transformation happened in Baba's life, and Baba started reading Gita. And when Baba used to read Gita, all his family members, they would come and sit in front of him. And that's how, whenever all the family members, when the Baba would do Om Dhwani, then those family members, they started seeing Lord Krishna instead of Baba. They used to see Lord Krishna standing in front of them, not the Baba. And they would try to catch Lord Krishna, but then Baba would just feel that why these my family members are coming to catch me, because Baba was not aware what they were seeing. It was the magic of Shiv Paramatma, the god Shiva, who entered into Brahma Baba's body, and he was the one who was making these people to have the divine visions. It was him only who was showing Lord Krishna through him, but he was not aware, that the Lekhraj was not aware, that what is happening to everyone. Now these things became so popular. Baba became very much popular, and the news spread like anything. The whole Hyderabad scene then just had the news that if you see Dada Lekhraj, you will get the vision of Lord Krishna from him. And that's how people started coming there and meeting Baba. And Baba used to meet them, and they used to sit, and when Baba used to do Om Dhwani, or when Baba used to talk to them, then they would have the visions of Vaikunth, they would have the visions of the paradise, and they would seek Shri Krishna. Some of them started dancing with the Shri Krishna. So they used to do a lot of things, and this news became so popular that even in America, in Times News magazine, that thing was published, that there is a Dada Lekhra, there is a Baba in Bharat, in India, by seeing him, one gets the vision of Lord Krishna. So that thing became so popular. And then a lot of many people started coming and seeing Baba after that. Now the most peculiar thing about those visions were mostly had by the women, and there were lot of matas, the mothers, the kumaris, and lot of sisters who were coming there, and they had the vision. It was not, the visions were not very famous amongst the male, but the female were getting the more vision. And when they used to see, when visit Baba, everyone used to have those visions, and it was just like a result of their devotion, a kind of a fruit of their devotion. They are getting that fruit. Then because that was the time when the mothers, the sisters, and the kumaris, the women were experiencing lot of they were put in a lot of bondage. They were having lot of bandhan in their family. The parda system was there, and the women was just thought of being an instrument to have pleasure, and there was no rights of the women. And that was the time when in Hyderabad, the Sindh community kept their women always in the house. They were not allowed to visit places, they were not allowed to go outside much and not have the experiences of the world. And their husbands used to travel a lot, because the Sindhi community is very much famous for the businesses that they do. So their husbands used to travel worldwide, and then And those women started coming to Baba, and they used to have a lot of visions of Baba. And soon there was a huge gathering in front of Baba. Lot many mothers and some brothers also, they started coming in front of Baba. And now Shiv Baba was having a lot of audience where he could speak the knowledge, where he could give the Gita Gyan. Because the reason for showing all those Sakshatkar was, the reason was to have a big gathering, a huge gathering, so that there are much people who can listen to now Shiv Baba. And then Shiv Baba started giving the knowledge, of soul, about the Supreme Soul, about his own identity. Shiv Baba started telling about what soul is, what we all are. And he also gave his own introduction, and he gave the knowledge of the past, present and future of the whole world. And that's how he revealed every secret of the world. And he revealed the whole knowledge to these souls. He revealed the whole secrets in front of them. And then gradually he also told them that this soul, whose body I have taken, this soul has got a very peculiar role to play. He said he is the same soul who was Shri Krishna in the golden age, and now after 84 births, this soul has become Dada Lekhraj, and now I have entered into his body, and now I am making him Brahma. I am transforming him. Otherwise, you see, you all are Brahma. Each one of you who's listening to this knowledge, we all are Brahma in a sense, because we create children. We are having our creations. Our family is our creation. But who is the one who created the whole humanity? So this is the one who is Prajapita, who is the father of the whole humanity. So Brahma Baba, so Shiv Baba, Shiv Parampita Paramatma, the Supreme Father, he changed his name. From Dada Lekhraj, he started saying that he is the one who is Brahman, who is Brahma, and from whose mouth you children are now taking birth, and therefore you are mouth-born Brahmins. So you all are real Brahmins, because you have taken birth from the real Brahma. And now with the dharana, with all the inculcation of divine virtues, you will be transforming yourself, and then after transforming yourself, you will be becoming just like deities in the golden age. And that's how Baba named this whole gathering, about 350 children who came among these 350 children. Lot of children were mothers, some kumaris were there, and some brothers were also there. But the first kanya who came into this knowledge and surrendered herself, her name was Om Radhe. She was just 17 years old. And when she came, Baba revealed that she is the one who is going to be Goddess Lakshmi in Golden Age. She is the real Saraswati. She is the one whom people now remember as Goddess Saraswati, the Devi of Vidya, the Goddess of Knowledge. So she is the one. And Baba made her the administrative head of the whole organization of the Om Mandali. And later words, the institution is called Prajapita Brahma Kumari Ishwari of Vishwavidyalaya. So Baba said, I am the one who has established this yagya. I am the one who is making this godly university. In 1937, Baba gave this institution a name. That's a godly university, Prajapita Brahma Kumari Ishwari Vishwavidyalaya, where you all children are this godly students, and you are studying, you are real Brahmins. And then this is how the things, you know, started moving. And then all these children were receiving sustenance from Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. And then Shiv Baba said, now, because the women is the one who is going to transform the whole world, people have let down the women. People have not understood the real power of the women, and so they have underestimated the power of women. So now I am going to uplift women. I am going to show them the path, that I am going to prove this thing, that women is the actual power who will transform everything. She is Shiv Shakti. She is the power. She will become the goddess one day. So Shiv Baba said, hand over everything to the women. So Brahma Baba, he willed everything in the name of all the mothers and the sisters who came in this gathering in Om Mandali. So they became the real, the real owners of whatever Baba was having, of the yagya which Shiv Baba started. And then Baba put all of those brothers and sisters into Tapasya Bhatti for 14 years. And why 14 years? You must have heard in the scriptures that even Rama and Lakshman and Sita ji, they went for 14 years of vanvas, and they went into forest for 14 years. Then even Pandavas experienced the vanvas of 14 years. So what is the significance of 14? It is taken from here where Shiv Baba made all the Brahmins to practice purification process, to undergo into a transformation period of themselves for 14 years. And that Baba named as Bhatti, because Bhatti is something where if you put something into the Bhatti, it starts changing its form. For example, if you are going to put coal into the Bhatti, the coal is going to leave all the black, all the quality of the coal. It will transform from black to golden and then white. And then if you are going to put the brick into the Bhatti, the brick will be, just become hard, and it is going to become strong. So in the same way, if the soul is being put into the Yoga Bhatti, that's how the soul will regain all its powers. The soul has now become weak, the battery of the soul has depleted a lot. But now if the soul is going to be put into the Yoga Bhatti, into the Yoga Agni, and with the constant remembrance of God Shiva, the soul is going to regain all its lost powers, and soul will become powerful. And that's how Shiv Baba made to experience 14 years of intense meditation, intense tapasya, and that's how these 350 people, they became so strong in their qualities, so strong in their virtues. And then later when India and Pakistan went through separation, and then Shiv Baba said, I always come in Bharat. My birthplace is Bharat. I always incarnate in Bharat, not in another country. So you will have to go to Bharat. So then Brahma Baba, he took the whole Om Mandali from the whole institution. He shifted everything. He brought all the children to India, and then he settled down here in Mount Abu. He chose this place. And this place became the world headquarters of the Brahma Kumaris Institution. And then later, Baba gave this knowledge, Shiv Baba was coming. So whatever Shiv Baba spoke through Brahma, he was telling lot of knowledge, he was narrating lot of things, he was telling everything what is going to happen in the past, present, future, telling the fortune, what the children are getting. So revealing everything, so revealing all the knowledge. So whatever knowledge Baba revealed, that knowledge was called Sakar Murlis. So Murli was nothing else. Murli was exactly those Mahavakya which God Shiva himself spoke through Brahma. Otherwise we are thinking Murli is something which Shri Krishna is always playing a flute. It is not the flute that Shri Krishna had played. It is the Murli, the Gyan Murli, the Murli of knowledge, the flute of knowledge that Shiv Baba, those words, those great words of Shiv Baba, the great versions of Shiv Baba that he spoke through Brahma, that knowledge is called Murli. The knowledge which transforms us, the knowledge which changes everything in us. So that is called Murli. So what the versions that were spoken by Shiv Baba through Brahma, they are called Sakar Murli. And then when Baba and the whole children, when they shifted here in Mount Abu, so Baba used to come, and the knowledge was then Shiv Baba gave the task of spreading this knowledge everywhere in the world. Then Baba sent all the children to the rest of the places, and they wanted each and every soul of the world should get this knowledge that God has incarnated, and he is giving this knowledge to us. He is the one who's doing the task of generation again, and he's transforming us. So that's how he sent so many sisters and to different parts of the world. And those sisters were later our dadis. And those dadis, they have created magic. Those were Shiv Shakti, who established such big centers worldwide in India and abroad. So now you have seen the knowledge has spread to every part of the world. We are having lot of centers being made. Then there was a time when Brahma Baba left body. It was in 1969, 18th of January, when Brahma Baba shifted his seat from here. Then he shifted to the subtle region. It was also a beautiful time when Shiv Baba said, now the role of Brahma has changed, because now he has become accomplished in all his virtues. He has gained that position where now he has to serve the whole world, because all the worlds of the soul require him. So he has to change the seat. Now he can't do anything in his bodily form. That's why he acquired an angelic stage. So now Brahma's soul is not here, but the Brahma's soul is in the subtle region as an angel. He's serving the whole world. He's serving the souls of the whole world. And we still see that Brahma, he comes with Shiv Baba, and then he is doing the task of transformation. The Brahma's task is not yet complete, because when the golden age is going to come, then only the Brahma's task will be finished. But then there were a lot of Brahmins who were thinking at that time that there is no Brahma now. Now who is going to give the knowledge? How would Shiv Baba come? Because Brahma was the only chariot of Shiv Baba. He was the only Rath of Shiv Baba. Now then Shiv Baba revealed later that when you see Shivling in a temple, then you must have seen in a Shiva's temple that there is a bull there in front of the Shivling, and then you see a calf there who's sitting at the back. So there are two chariots of Shiv Baba, not just one chariot. So first of all, Shiv Baba came in Brahma Baba's body, and then he said, I'm going to take another body, and that is of Dadi Gulzar. Now both Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba, they are called Bab Dada together, and they started coming in Dadi Gulzar's body. And there was a lot of transformation in the versions that Bab Dada spoke later. Because earlier when Shiv Baba used to come in Brahma Baba's body, those Murlis were more knowledge based. And now when they both were coming in Dadi Gulzar's body, those Murlis were based on virtues and lot of dharana, lot of embodiment of virtues. So Baba was more concerned that now children should work more to imbibe lot of virtues in them. And that's how the dharana yukta, the embodiment of the imbibement of virtues started after that. So those Murlis were called avyakta Murlis. And later on, this process started, and we saw a lot of Brahmins, a lot of families, they now, started coming together, and we are, the Brahma Kumaris became a very big institution run by women only, and it is spread globally now, and there are a lot of families, I think 1 million children of Baba are now who are completely regularly following the practice and practicing meditation, and they are daily listening to Baba's Murli, and they have changed their life, transformed everything in their life, and living a life of purity, absolute celibacy. And that's how Shiv Baba's task of transforming this world, these are the children who as Brahmins are now supporting Baba. They are making the vision of Baba, helping Baba to make his vision true. And that's how we are seeing now the institution has completed 84 years, and we are at the verge of the end of Kali Yuga. And with this end, we are experiencing that the task of Shiv Baba is now coming to an end. The age of Sangam Yuga is coming to an end, and the confluence age is going to finish very soon, and we'll be seeing golden age coming very soon, and Shri Krishna again taking birth. So it is the soul of Brahma only who is going to become Shri Krishna, and it is the soul of Om Radhe, who we know as Mama, who is the real Saraswati. She would be becoming Lakshmi in golden age. So now the whole thing, with this whole thing, you must have had the vision, you must have understood that Shiv Baba is actually a seed. When we see the whole the knowledge that we have in our scriptures, we always talk about a kalpa tree, a tree of the whole human community. If we see about that kalpa tree, you must have heard that there is a kalpa tree in our scriptures, in Indian scriptures, in Hindu scriptures, in Jain scriptures also, and also in Christianity. There is a Christmas tree there. So what is the significance of the kalpa tree? Now, when we see the kalpa tree, there is a seed always. For a tree, we have to first sow the seed, and that's how the whole tree grows later. But who is the seed of this kalpa tree, the whole genealogical tree of the whole world? Shiv Paramatma, God Shiva, is the seed of this whole kalpa vriksha, the tree of humanity. So when he comes on earth, then he gives this knowledge, he starts giving this knowledge. And with this knowledge, first of all, Brahma and Saraswati, they are, you know, born. And then afterwards, the whole community of Brahmins are born. And we all are mouth-born children of Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. And that's how we become the roots of the kalpa tree. And with this foundation, the foundation is so strong, the whole kalpa tree is going to emerge afterwards. But because we are the roots and Shiv Baba is also incognito, he is the seed, so nothing is visible. We all are under the ground. The foundation is under the ground. It's not visible. That is why there is no remembrance of the Brahmins and the Shiv Baba. Also, we don't know who he was, what he did. But something that comes out of the ground, that is Shri Krishna and Shri Radha, the two leaves that comes out of the ground, they are very much visible to the world. So people see the result coming out of the tapasya that we do. And that is the reason why, first of all, when Shri Radha and Shri Krishna comes in the golden age, people see them. And that is the reason why they relate everything to Krishna. Whatever knowledge God Shiva gave, we related that knowledge with Shri Krishna. Shiv Baba gave the knowledge of Gita, so we understood that Shri Krishna must have given the knowledge of Gita. So we gave the whole credit to Shri Krishna. So everything was done by Shiv Paramatma, everything was done by God Shiva. But now we have changed his name and we have actually put the name of the creation of God Shiva, that is Shri Krishna. But then how? So God Shiva comes and establishes one religion, and that religion is called Adi Sanatan Devi Devta Dharam. And there was one religion, not many religions. There was one language, one kingdom, and one undistributable, undivided kingdom. So that was something which God Shiva himself established. And then this world continued till 2500 years. So it was just like one tana, one trunk of the whole tree. And then afterwards, when Dwapar Yug came, we saw a big division happening. That this whole trunk gets divided into three parts. And first of all, the first preceptor came, and he was Ibrahim. And we saw people getting divided into another religion, which is called Islam. Then we are having one more preceptor coming, and that was Gautam Buddha. And after his coming, the souls of his community, they started coming, and the religion got established, and we now know it as Buddhism. And then another one came, Jesus Christ came, and Christianity was established. Then later on, we in India also, there was a division coming. It was through Shankaracharya who brought sannyas dharma into existence, and then so many sannyasis were born. And then we were having Muslim religion established by Muhammad Sahab, and later on Guru Nanak came. And similarly, we were having lot of other communities being built, and people got just divided into those communities. There were lot of branches now, and we all are just like leaves of those branches. And we are following them by heart. We are attached to our religions. And then afterwards, when the whole this kalpa tree becomes so old, 5000 years old, then Shiv Baba comes again. And when he comes on confluence sage, he says, I'm going to put the sapling of the new tree back again. So he again makes Brahma. So Brahma, through Brahma, he is actually doing the task of reuniting all the religions. So he says that the new sapling is going to be put through the souls of the souls of all the religions. So he's uniting all the religions, and all the souls of the different religions are coming together at one point, and from that a new tree is again emerging. A new sapling is being put by God Shiva, and that's how we will be seeing a new tree coming into picture very soon. A new world is starting very soon. So it is also just like a cycle. You see, when God Shiva comes, a tree, the tree of humanity grows, that's how. So it's a never-ending cycle. So every 5,000 years and we see a new tree emerging. So this is the tree of humanity, and that's how it happens. So that's how we see the whole story of the institution of Brahma Kumaris, and how Shiv Baba comes. And today our task is now to transform ourselves, because as we are seeing the signs of destruction so much, so many things are changing in the world, and we are living in a time of uncertainty, so anything can happen. But we are having a surety that Shiv Baba, we can connect ourself with God, with the Supreme Soul, and receive His powers. So before everything ends, it is our moral responsibility to fulfill ourselves with the virtues of God Shiva, with the virtues, so that we can come in golden age, we can come in silver age. And that's how the basic requirement for that is that we listen to what God has said. And that is something we are daily giving the versions that God Shiva has told. We are daily listening to those versions, and those versions are called Murli. So Murli are being related every day at our centers. So you can go to our centers, visit our centers, and you can listen to Murli. But now it is lockdown, so centers are closed. So you can listen to Murli online. If you go to YouTube and search Brahma Kumaris Murli, so you will get the online Murli and you can listen to it. So every day early in the morning we listen to Murli. Not even a single day is there where God Shiva doesn't come and narrate us or tell us that what importance of the time is. The knowledge that he gives is so outstanding. It is transforming us. It is such a nice knowledge. It is the dose of the soul that we daily should give to the soul, so that the soul can think positive. So now, based on all these facts and all the information that we have had, all the knowledge that we have got, now we will be meditating for a few minutes. So bring your concentration back to the center of the forehead and visualize yourself as a point of light sitting in the center of the forehead. A sparkling, shining star. I am a peaceful stone. I am a blissful soul. A powerful soul. I am embodiment of all the virtues. Special child of God Shiva. My father is also just like me, ocean of knowledge. I am master ocean of knowledge. He is ocean of peace. I am master ocean of peace. He has incarnated into this world for such a good cause. All my prayers have been answered now. has come to transform everyone, to bring a new world. I am receiving a gift of paradise. From the Supreme Father, I'm such a fortunate soul. That I understood everything, understood His knowledge. I'm a fortunate soul that I recognized Him in His true form. Now I am having a beautiful relation and having great experiences. He's filling me with a lot of powers and virtues, preparing me for the new world. I am living my life as per the directions of God. I am doing satkarma. Burning all my bad habits, changing myself, and becoming like a deity. I thank Shiv Baba for teaching me how to live. How to be happy. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti.